Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Women throughout history have faced so much pain, so much trauma, so many different circumstances that were meant to break them. But the ones who actually change the world are the ones who do healing work. They look at themselves, they take their power back, and they refuse to let their pain be their final chapter. There's people like Maya Angelou who turned her trauma into poetry, turned her silence into power. We have Oprah Winfrey, who is my secret idol, took her struggles and built a beautiful empire. We have people like Malala Yousafzai, who survived an assassination attempt and became a voice for millions of people. People like Tina Turner, who walked away from abuse and reclaimed her name, her life, and her freedom. And of course, we have the infamous Harriet Tubman, who didn't just free herself, she freed hundreds of enslaved people. Today, I want to talk about that same power that we have within ourselves as women, that power that we have to shift our story, to reclaim our narrative, and to walk in the authority that already belongs to us. But you're probably wondering, outside of it being Women's International Month, why? Why this story? If you've been following me for a while, I am a very vulnerable person. I do not mind sharing my story because I feel like it is a part of my purpose and a part of my life's calling to share my personal testimony and help other women heal. This particular episode, I am sharing, I guess what I can call the tail end of me proclaiming, if you've been listening for a while, I proclaimed this on my podcast, I think when I started it, me proclaiming that I would be ending the cycle of abuse, that I would be shifting away from this narrative of being in an abusive relationship or continuing to be in abusive relationships, giving my power away and taking ownership of my life, my power, and my authority. So I was sent a video of my ex-husband who was on divorce court. We are still technically legally married. The last 2 years, I have been in contact with him 3 times about an address and getting divorce paperwork signed. He has continued to refuse. This is part of that dynamic of power and control, where someone else wants to be in control. They want to be in control of the process and have whatever they want. Meanwhile, the last 2 years, if you've been following me, you know I've been on a very intentional healing journey. I've traveled, I've allowed myself to engage in not just teaching yoga, but receiving what I need from other yoga practitioners, Reiki, meditate, like all the things. I've been very intentional about healing, right? This video I was sent of my ex-husband, him and his current girlfriend were on divorce court. Instead of reacting the way I think a lot of people were expecting me to react, right? Giving into the chaos, giving the energy to the toxicity. I was choosing to use what is my platform and still my story for something bigger. Because at the end of the day, this isn't just about me. This isn't just about that episode. This isn't just about him. This isn't just about my divorce. This isn't just about her and her healing. This is about women, period. This is about women learning to take control of their life, learning to take authority over their selves, their mind, their body, their spirit, their thoughts, their behaviors, their choices, who they let into their lives, and who they let go. This is for every woman who's ever been lied to, that's been manipulated, that has been made to feel powerless, that has been told, I love you, but is shown pain. This is for the women that I mentioned before, Maya Angelou, Oprah Winfrey, and all of the abuse and the trauma that they've went through. What all five of those women have in common is a story. They've been through something, whether it was them engaging in something or something happening to them that they had no control over, especially as a child, they have a story. This is about the truth that we all have the authority to shift our narrative at any given moment. And what those five women did was shift the narrative of their story. Let's get into this episode. Welcome to the Soul Work Podcast, a space where we dive into the journey of reconnecting with our body, our intuition, and our soul's true divine purpose. Each week, we will explore how to heal from within using body-centered wisdom, somatic and holistic healing practices, and engage in soulful healing and transformative conversations that will support you on your path to wholeness. In this podcast, we'll uncover ways to recognize the messages our bodies is sending us, transform old wounds, and step fully into our divine power. So whether you're here to break free from past patterns, build resilience, or simply deepen your soul's awareness, this space is dedicated to your growth, your healing, and your unique soul journey. So take a deep inhale and exhale. Settle in, grab your cup of tea, and let's do the soul work together. This is your Soul Work Podcast for your soul's work. So before we get started, y'all know I like to do some good old breath work, get us centered, get us ready, because we're going to talk about five different things, okay? We're going to talk about reclaiming your power and choosing your story. We're going to talk about when the past wants to try and resurface and how we need to shift our perspective on what that means. We're going to talk about us women really owning our authority to be able to shift, right? We don't need permission to shift. We're going to talk about boundaries and protecting your peace, and we're going to talk about the role of truth and when it gets exposed, okay? So go ahead and find that comfortable seated posture. I love a good lotus pose. Take a nice big inhale. And exhale as you settle in. Releasing any tension that might be flowing through the body or blocking any flow. Give yourself permission to let go. This morning I pulled some cards and I have a Mary Magdalene deck. Mary Magdalene her story is very special to me, especially when we're talking about women and abuse of power and what that looks like, even in biblical sense, right? We're talking about the Mary Magdalene who was the right hand, the real right hand to Jesus before he ascended. And the Mary Magdalene card that I pulled this morning from the Mary Magdalene deck was presence, right? When we allow ourselves to be present, be in this present moment, we release what has already been, and we release the attachment to the future, and we allow ourselves to drop into the now. What are you holding on to from your past that you need to let go? And what are you allowing yourself, your mind, and your body to try and constantly create in the future that is actually asking you to be present now? Because the right now is where spirit meets us. The right now is where we start creating and building, and we can get the downloads that we need. We can reconnect to our intuition. We can feel into our body. We can reconnect to our power. We come back home to ourselves. So we'll take a nice big inhale. And exhale. Nice big inhale. And exhale. And last one, nice big inhale, pulling the breath from the bottom of the feet all the way up through the body to the top of your head. Hold it there for 4, 3, 2, 1. As you exhale, keep it calm, keep it safe, keep the body at ease. Don't rush the breath. Allow the body to release. Allow the breath to move through the body, back down the body. Clearing any tension, clearing any residue, and just be present here with self, noticing where anything might have shifted, what might be coming up, what might be asking for release. I'd offer, if something is bubbling to the surface, let that be a sign that it is ready to be let go. Beautiful. So we're going to start with reclaiming your power and choosing your story. So life happens, right? We all know that things happen in life that sometimes we just don't have control over. We don't have control over how other people respond. We do not have control over how other people behave, especially when it is towards us. What we do have control over is how we respond, right? When life happens, how do you respond? You get to choose how you respond. You can choose to respond with fear. You can choose to respond with joy. You can choose to respond with chaos. You can choose to respond with care, right? You can choose to respond with embarrassment. You can choose to respond with elevation. When life happens, what do you do? But here's a deeper question. Are you even aware of what is happening? See, in most situations, and let me be very, very transparent about what we're talking about. We're talking about abusive situations. In my personal experience, what was happening was not being aware of my body, right? Not being aware of my thought process, not being aware of my actions, not being aware of my responses, not being aware of what was missing internally that was attracting certain energies to me, right? So in turn, it allowed for certain behaviors to become okay. At some point, I said to myself, these behaviors are not okay, right? The way someone treated me was a response to what I was allowing. And then I decided I was not allowing those behaviors anymore. I was not allowing for somebody to lie to me. I was not allowing for somebody to hit me. I was not allowing for somebody to manipulate me. I was not allowing anybody to gaslight me. I was not allowing anybody to tell me that they love me and inflict pain onto me, right? You are also not bound by that other person's actions, right? We all have our own journey. We all have our own experiences from childhood that, healed or unhealed, somehow end up in our adult lives. They end up in our romantic relationships, how we show up in friendships. But you are not bound to how someone else shows up, right? There's this beautiful thing where when someone there's this saying, right? When a tree shows you what kind of fruit it bears, believe them, right? In the Bible, it says a man shows you, and I'm paraphrasing, so let's just be clear on that. When a man shows you who he is, believe him, right? His actions, your actions show who you are. So you always have the power to pivot, okay? Someone else showing you how they love you or how they love, not just you, because here's the thing. And if you've been listening for a while, you know, I'm the coach, I'm the teacher, I'm going to repeat some things. How you do one thing is how you do everything, right? So how someone shows you love is how they show their mother love, is how they show their friends love, is how they show their children love. It's going to look a little bit different given the context of that relationship, right? But I guarantee you, how someone shows you, when someone shows you how they love you, that's how they love other people in their lives, okay? So when we see these actions, we have to know that we have the power to pivot. I'm going to say it again. You have the power to pivot. Just because you love someone also doesn't mean you have to accept their behavior. We have this thing where it's like, oh, but I love him. He's going to change. No, he's not. It's not. If he hasn't shown you change already. So here's the thing. It's not, when we're talking about change behavior, we're talking about showing me what you're doing to learn how to change this behavior. What are you showing me that you are doing to learn how to change this behavior, right? Because I can deal with a person who is showing me what they are doing to learn how to change their behavior. I don't want to hear you say that you're changing and I'm not seeing anything, right? And that's give or take certain things, right? It all depends on who the person is, but you are not beheld to someone else's behaviors. You are responsible and beheld. I don't even know if beheld is a word, but it's a word today. You are beheld to your responses to the behavior, right? Because how you respond is how you define your story. How you respond is how you define your narrative. So I want you to take a minute to just really think about your storyline right now. right? Your storyline. You're the character in the story. What is your storyline right now? What is it? Is it the victim, the victor, the savior? What is it? Is it the person that's always watching? Or is it the person that's in action? Is it the person that's behind the scenes? Is it the person that talks way too much and has no action? Be very honest about what your storyline is, right? Also know that your response defines your story, not what happened to you, okay? I can sit here and keep talking about what happened to me with this person and all the abuse and what's happened the last 4 years. I've done that. I'm not there anymore. And what this video being sent to me showed me was my growth, right? So the next part of what we're going to talk about is when the past tries to resurface, how do we, what is the perspective we have around that, right? Sometimes the past will try to resurface. Sometimes people from your past will come up and you're just like, girl, so-and-so just tried to talk to me again, right? And one thing I learned when that used to happen to me, I'd be like, oh my God, I have to engage. All these butterflies and all these old emotions are starting to arise. Maybe that means something. When really it meant, no, girl, you got more growing to do. What this video being sent to me taught me was how much I've grown, right? I needed this to happen to, one, expose the truth that I always knew was there, and two, to remember that this is about me. This, like, my experience, not taking away from this young girl's experience and not really caring about his, but my experience, right? What I've overcome since I made the decision to leave. This video showed me my growth. It showed me that I have been dedicated to loving myself so deeply, that I have been dedicated to unlearning my behaviors, that I have been dedicated to filling whatever voids I needed to with me, not anything outside of me, but filling those empty voids back with myself, that I have been dedicated to building a healthy relationship with myself, that I have been so far removed from the relational portion of this that my only focus was to keep moving forward. My only focus was to sever the tie. My only focus was to divorce. That there's freedom in that. That there was so much freedom in saying no to somebody. I am free. Seeing that video wasn't about anybody else but me. It was about me being able to see how far I've come. It also showed me that the things that were used to hurt me, and not just in that relationship, right? I'm very transparent. So if this is your first time here, hi, I speak about domestic violence and abuse, but I also speak about healing that and transforming, real transformation. Right? But in other relationships with family, with other partners, with older partners, right? With friendships, there's friendship circles that I've left because it's like, oh, why am I begging to be friends with somebody? Right? It allowed me to see that I am no longer being hurt by the things that were used to hurt me. And I'll even give you one further. Love is my Achilles heel. I am a love bucket. I added love to my name because I am love. I am made from love. When God sent me here, it was because of love. I am dripped in love. Love is my language. Love is all in my heart space and in my soul. So love is used against me. Right? But you know what I do with it? I fight even harder. I rise above it even louder. I vibrate higher with more love, right? And the love that's used against me, it's the love where it's like, yeah, I love you, whatever, girl. Give me what I want, right? But I am now in a powerful space of being able to say and see that what once would have broke me, whether it's the words that somebody says, whether it's the actions that somebody shows, don't hold power over me anymore. That is healing. That is the most beautiful place to be in. That what was once making me a victim is now making me powerful. It also showed me that I have learned emotional depth, that I have learned emotional grounding and stability, right? That I now know the difference between reacting from my wound, right? That hard place, that harmful place, right? Versus responding from a place of healing. If I was still hurt, this video would be a lot different. Somebody would have got cussed out. I'm just being honest, right? Somebody's phone would have got blown up, right? I wouldn't have done my due diligence. Me and one of my homegirls wouldn't have done a due diligence to reach out to this girl's family, right? Because that's not who I am, right? Even in the wound would have allowed me to react that way. But the truth of my being, I've done the healing work to allow the truth of my being to align with the way of my being, right? So here's the thing about healing, right? And understanding how you react. This just hit something. And we're talking about reactions, period, right? It's our, like when we physically fight people, when we argue with people, the things we say, the way we do, our behaviors, right? Here's the thing about healing. People know that you've healed from the way that you respond and react. That's where our power comes from, right? You are in control of how you respond, right? If you're still in that broken space, you can tell, right? You can tell. When I spoke to this young girl's family, I was a little nervous about doing that because I didn't want them to think I was coming with the chaos and the hate and all this other stuff, right? And off rip, everybody was genuine. Everybody was honest. Everybody was real. Everybody was feeling the feels and really engaging in, okay, what do we need to do to move forward, right? That's what healing is. Healing makes it no longer about you and makes it about the collective. So when I talk about the Oprah Winfrey's, when I talk about the Harriet Tubman's, when I talk about the Sojourner Truth, right? When we're talking about these pioneers, these women who have turned their stories into power, who have turned their pain into purpose, who have turned their narrative into something that is bigger than them, right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about how do I, because when you're operating from that wounded place, it's I. When we're operating from a healing place, it's we, right? The healing place is about the collective, right? That's why I think it's imperative that people do healing work, especially if you're in any type of leadership position. If you're in the helping field, if you're in the spiriting field, if you're in any field that you're in where you are a leader, You need to do your healing work. You need to do personal and professional development constantly, because there's no way you are leading people effectively, even in a household. Even in a household, I now cannot trust a man who has not been to therapy consistently. I now cannot trust a man who doesn't have some type of older male in their life to guide them. I have women in my life to guide me, to be present with me. Sometimes they say stuff I don't want to hear. And then I have an attitude and I'll sit with it later and be like, all right, yeah, she's got a point. Honest to a fault. I now cannot trust a man to lead me if he cannot be led. Period. And I need to know who this leader is, what their life is like, who's leading them. I always say my therapist has a therapist. My doctor has a doctor. My pastor has a pastor. My gurus have gurus. My coaches have coaches. My chiropractor has a chiropractor. My massage therapist has a massage therapist, right? Leaders need to be taking care of themselves. Leaders of households need to be taking care of themselves, right? But I get off track sometimes. But when we are leading and making decisions from a wounded place, it shows. When we're making decisions from a healing place, it shows. This allowed me to see that I am in a healed place. And it feels so good. It feels so good. It feels so good. It feels so good. So, so good. The next section that we're going to talk about is women and our authority to shift. These powerful women that I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, I guarantee you, they've had to shift. They've had to leave home. They've had to leave hometowns. They've had to leave relationships. They've had to leave friendships. They've had to leave business partners. They've had to leave and shift somewhere. There's power in shifting. There's power in shifting. And when we get to this ability to shift, it's a sign that we are allowing ourselves to grow more, right? Because you can't, it's like a pot, it's like a plant, right? At some point, the plant is, the roots of that plant are only going to go so far. You're going to see that this plant is not growing anymore, right? So what do? You shift it into a bigger pot. Once you shift it into a bigger pot, the roots have more room to grow, right? Any relationship, any partnership, any friendship that stifles your growth and even sees or can't have or doesn't allow space for you to have the conversation to say, hey, I don't feel like I'm growing here. I don't feel like I'm able to expand here. I'm starting to feel small. I'm starting to feel confined. Is not the place that you need to be. This is also part of abuse, right? It's how can I keep you small so that I'm always in power? How disgusting is that? Society teaches women that we have to always endure, that we have to just accept whatever is given to us, that we have to wait for permission, that we have to ask first. But we're done with that shit. At least I am. I'm not asking permission to do anything. No. I'm not enduring anything, right? This is why we have so many women now that are so hard and so jaded because of this thing of constant survival, right? When the rest in the trust and the The thriving is in the release. It's in the relaxation of the body. So we don't need permission, women, to stand in our power. We don't need permission to rewrite our own story. We don't need permission to say no. We don't need permission, right? I do want to address safety concerns, right? Even with that, do you have trusted women around you? Do you have trusted women around you? Do you have a set of women, a set of girlfriends that you can say, hey, I don't feel safe and I need help? I think that's another part of it, is that for some reason, again, with women being taught that we have to endure, we have to accept, we have to wait for permission, we stifle, right? We stuff and we step into this, oh, I can handle it. I can do it. No, women have to come back to creating community with one another. We have to come back to tapping into each other's intuition. I guarantee you right now, I can name 3 friends off the top of my head that will call me and be like, when I'm feeling not myself, right? Those moments when I'm feeling not like feeling my feels and not feeling, you know, all the way there. I can name 3 people, 3 girlfriends that will text me and be like, hey, something feels off. Are you good? Right? We have to come back to that. Because when women empower other women, all we keep doing is empowering other women. We're empowering our little girls. I do yoga for preschoolers who are having some behavioral challenges. And there's this one little girl, she's a firecracker. I love her. I love her and I love it. She's a cute little firecracker. She is a powerhouse, let me tell you, right? She's a powerhouse. And I was talking to her mom about just like what I kept seeing for her. And it's all about, we have to change the narrative of how, one, she's perceived as a girl because of her power, and two, how the world is going to perceive her because she's a girl and she's powerful, right? She's going to be, so shifting the narrative even for little girls who are already stepping into their power, right? I don't want her to lose that. I don't want her to lose that boss in her, right? So my goal has been, okay, how do I help her keep this at 3 years old? How amazing is this? How do I help her keep this and also teach her that, yes, you're a warrior. Yes, you're a powerhouse, and this is how we use it for good, right? We don't hurt anybody with it. We don't hit people with it, right? We don't be mean with it, right? We want to be honest. We want to be helpful. We want to be a leader. I'm teaching a 3-year-old how to harness her power. It's wild. It's wild, 444. It's wild. It's wild. And it's a beautiful thing to see, because then I see women my age who have so much power, but it's anger, it's rage, it's fear. They recluse, they curl in, they hide, they allow other people to dictate how their life needs to go. I'm guilty. I've been there. But again, what seeing this video has done for me has made me look at how far I have come, how much of my power and my authority I have taken back. The very key that I was giving permission and giving away to other people, I was giving back to myself, and now I am the full owner of this home, of the keys to every door. It's a beautiful place to be in. Every time a woman steps into her power, she shifts the narrative, not just for herself, but for all women. Oprah Winfrey stepped in her power, shift the narrative, not just for herself, but for all women. I remember growing up and watching Oprah Winfrey, and something in me was just like, oh yeah, that's cool. I'm going to do that. Fleeting thought. And the older I got, I'm just like, oh. She paved a way. When women step into their power, they change the story. You know, Monica Lewinsky just came out with a podcast. I haven't listened to it yet, but it was really random that I found it. And I think it's actually called something along the lines of shifting the narrative or something to that effect. And I was just like, huh. Oh, this is interesting. This is very interesting. Because what do we know her narrative to be? We know Monica Lewinsky to be the person who slept with Bill Clinton, the famous dress with the on it, right? Here we are, what, 20 plus years later? And she's got a podcast shifting her narrative and talking to other women about the power in shifting your narrative, right? For some reason, men like to take control of women and create a narrative that is not true. And then what they do is, and I'm living this on another scale in with my son's father, who the fuck cares? And then what they do is that narrative that they created, they go tell it to everybody that wants to listen. And they'll keep lying about it and lying about it and lying about it and lying about it and making up a story. And until they don't even remember what the narrative is. But you have control over the truth, your story, your narrative. And again, it's always going to be, how do you show up? Right? What is the aura and the energy that arrives? Because two things for sure, I don't care what this mouth says, that behavior and that aura is going to speak for itself. The aura is always going to speak for itself. Weakness has an aura. Power has an aura. Boundaries have an aura. Truth and integrity has an aura. It's going to show up on you. It's always going to show up first. We also, as women, have to remember that protecting our peace is power. Setting boundaries is power. I, after seeing this video, had to set a firm boundary with myself. As much as I want to help this family and help this young girl, I also don't want to be attached to this individual anymore. Hell, I've been trying to get divorced for the last 2 years, and it's set in motion to still happen. I just had to redo some things. Well, keep trying some things. But I do not want to be attached to this individual. So I set a firm boundary with myself that I would no longer play the savior. If you read Married to Trauma, I talk about that in my book. Right? How some of my stuff was playing savior, right? Because I was looking for somebody to save me. So it was easy for me to go save somebody else. I'm not there anymore. Not there anymore. Not there anymore at all. Right? So a part of me protecting my peace is setting boundaries. One with myself. If you can't set boundaries with yourself, you can't set boundaries with anybody else, right? And two, setting the boundary with other people, right? This is also where we take back control of the narrative, where we take back the ability to remember our why, Right? Stay intentional about why we're doing something. Again, when I knew I was going to respond to this video, I wanted to be clear on why I needed to respond and how I was going to respond. Because let me tell you something. Another thing I've been protecting, one, my brand, because I'm building a brand. Two, my future husband, my future children, my future coworkers, my future business partners, my future, everything that's in my future that I know is coming to pass. Whatever I do now, it has to be intentional because it will protect my future, everything and everybody in it. Right? The next thing that we would talk about is boundaries and protecting your peace, right? You don't have to engage with every energy that doesn't align with you, right? I think we feel like just because certain things come to us, we have to engage with it. We don't, right? You definitely don't have to engage ASAP, right? You don't have to be so quick with the engagement either, right? Take a pause. That was a word for somebody. My God, I didn't even catch it till it came out my mouth. You don't have to be quick with the engagement either. Mm. Sit back. Listen to your body. Have a talk with God. Let your ancestors say to you, this is a part of your path. Write. Right? Write. Take a moment to yourself. Like I told one of my girlfriends, I said, girl, I need a minute. I need a minute. I need a minute to be with me, right? Because I'm going to be honest, a little bit of anger started coming up, but I didn't want to respond from that place. A little bit of sadness started coming up, but I didn't want to respond from that place, right? I wanted to make sure I responded in a way that wasn't just about me, wasn't just about that video, but was about how can I continue to be a catalyst for women and use this as a teachable moment to set boundaries in place and to protect your peace, right? So even in terms of being in relationship, because right now Venus is in retrograde, Mercury is in retrograde. We just had an eclipse and all of that is surrounding career, it's surrounding relationships, it's surrounding like surrender and letting go and things being exposed, coming to the light. I was about to say it and then the sun was like, oh, I'll help you, right? It's about coming to the light, right? So this came to the light. And it gave me opportunity to look at, okay, do I need to respond? And if I had just have this itch to where I need to respond because I am a Gemini in Mercury and I'm a double Gemini sun and moon and a Gemini in Mercury. So communication is my thing. How do I use this, right? It's never a bash party with me. That's not even who I am. It's always going to be, what is the learning moment that we can take from this for myself and for everyone else? And how can I open up the gate for other people to learn also? The one thing I will say is I was not a fan of this young girl being bashed. One thing I know is that a lot of us have never been taught boundaries. A lot of us don't know what protecting our peace looks and feel like. We think protecting peace means walking on eggshells and doing what we're told. That's not peace. That's crippling. That's degrading, right? Peace within is what we're protecting. Those boundaries protect peace within, right? So a learning moment is where we we allow for people to be on the journey that they're on, right? We allow space for people to be on the journey that they're on and hope that they start to have enough. Because one thing I know is that at some point we get sick and tired of ourselves. You have to be sick and tired with yourself at some point. Some people don't, and I believe they are demons, and that's fine. They can stay over there. But you have to get to a point where you are sick and tired of yourself. Women who step into their power at some point got sick and tired of other people's stuff, of accepting other people's garbage, and allowing themselves to constantly be found on the floor. Maya Angelou was not going to keep allowing herself to be on the floor. You know what she did? She wrote poetry. You know what happened then? She became a noble person that we all know. She's probably got accolades, and forgive me for not knowing off the top of my head, but we know who Maya Angelou is, right? Oprah Winfrey, we know her story. I'll even bid you one further. The judge that was on divorce court, Star Jones, we know her story. We know her story. We know her story. But you know what she did? She set boundaries in place, and she didn't allow that embarrassment to become her narrative. She turned that into something beautiful and still allowed herself to walk in the divinity that God had for her. God wants you to choose the abundance. God wants you to choose the abundance. Getting hit is not the abundance. Being told you can't do anything is not the abundance. Being around people who hate you is not the abundance. Being in a relationship that stifles you and doesn't allow you to expand and be free is not the abundance. I will be single for the rest of my life. If that meant choosing a partner that was going to stifle me. I need to be free. I am a literal bird. I like to travel. Right? So, what are your boundaries? How are you protecting your peace? Because in that is where you also find your power. We can't be afraid to be by ourselves. I get so much more done being by myself. I get to be my full authentic self being by myself until the right people come along. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. I'm talking about friendships too. Until the right people come along and match that authenticity. All of the friendships that I have now, give or take, like maybe a handful who have been around for one is like almost 20 years. Another one is like the last 8 years, like give or take some years, right? But most of the friendships I have now, another one's like 10 years. Most of the friendships I have now have been found in me being my authentic self and doing all the things that feel good to me. Because why would I want to be in community with people who don't light up at the things that make me light up, right? And it doesn't even have to be the same thing. We're in the same realm, right? Give or take. Give or take. I'm not saying all of my friends and the people that love me, we got to be doing the same thing and loving the same thing. But I want to know that I'm free to be me. That is a boundary. The minute I feel like you're stifling me, you're shutting me up, you can't be here anymore. You can't be here anymore. We have to also remember that surrender is not a weakness. Walking away is not a weakness. Saying that you can't do this anymore is not a weakness. It is the pivotal point of transformation. It is wisdom at its finest. It is listening to your body and listening to your intuition say, It's time. It is time. I will never let anybody play my narrative of leaving when the truth was it was time. Because I was choosing me. I was choosing me. I was choosing health and happy. I was choosing abundance. I was choosing the world being my oyster. I was choosing love. I was choosing joy. I was choosing the fruits that feel good to me. I was choosing a relaxed nervous system. I was choosing a calm body. That is my narrative. Those are part of my narrative. What you choose is how you respond, and how you respond is proof of your narrative. There is strength in blocking, detaching, moving forward without looking back. Do not look back. Do not look back. And at some point I was like, oh, but if I do a response, right, it's going to look like I'm looking back. I'm still there. No. Because again, seeing this video gave me the checkpoint. It's like when you're traveling, right? And you're about to run out of gas and you're like, okay, I could push it a little bit more, but maybe I need to stop for gas soon. I'm not sure where a gas station is. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, gas station, like a half a mile ahead. And you're just like, cool, let me just go ahead and stop. This was that stop for me, right? The checkpoint, right? You get to that gas station, you fill up on gas, you check to make sure you got enough windshield wiper fluid. If you need any snacks, whatever, 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 you check in. You check in with where you are on the road trip. How many more hours do you have? All of the things. This was that for me. So no, I'm not embarrassed. God, no. No, no, no. I'm not embarrassed at all. But I know the truth. We know the truth. This was a checkpoint for me. And it was a beautiful checkpoint. Because it allowed me to remember how much work I've done, that I have finally decided to not look back, that there is nothing back there for me, and that whatever is there, I've already brought it with me, which is the wisdom. The body holds so much wisdom. That's how you step into your power, by not looking back. You take what you need and you move it forward. You don't need a lot of luggage. You don't. And last, we're going to just kind of chat about the role of truth and exposure. I don't care how much people think they can get away with. Whether in relationships, whether in court, in life, whatever, what have you. Lies always get unraveled and revealed. Everything you do in the dark comes into the light. Now, I'm not a perfect person. Right. I am very open and honest about the things I do right, the things I do wrong. I don't believe in lying because let me tell you, I talk so much that I forget. I forget half of the stuff I say. Right. I hate repeating myself and sometimes I end up doing it. I'm also a mom. So repeating myself is going to be my lifelong thing. Right. But lying has never been attractive to me, especially as an adult. I don't understand why we have to lie. Right. But as long as you control your emotions, you control your temper, That is also part of how you control your narrative, how you shift the story away from what anybody else might be saying into what is true. Like my therapist always tells me, you know the truth. And sometimes that's all that matters. And the truth will always reveal itself. And it always does, right? One of my favorite scriptures is, touch not my anointed one and do my servant no harm. And baby, y'all forget God has a very specific set of people that he just, there's just an extra little dripping on them. An extra little season salt on them. Extra little flavor that he puts on them, right? Extra little packaging that he puts around them. There's just a little bit of something extra that he puts on his people to let them know, hey, you're my chosen one. My palm is oily right now, right? And as I mentioned before about surrender and walking away not being a form of weakness, when you get to that point, you realize that now someone else is ready to fight your battles for you. You will never have to fight for the truth to be revealed. You will never have to fight the battles because the truth will fight for you. It is a beautiful place to be in, to be in full surrender and focus forward. The focus forward is the power, right? You've come back to your authority of the truth of who you are. Remember that quote I said? It was by William Young, who is the author of The Shack. And he was actually on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday show. And the quote is, wholeness is when the way of our being matches the truth of our being. I will never not, like, that is on my emails, my signature, everything. Because it's true. It's true. When you walk the walk and talk the talk, right? Your posture is different. You hold your head high differently. You know what the story is, and every single day you allow yourself to be the one to write it. And sometimes people don't realize that they're in control of how it's being written because they won't take a minute to pause and look at what's already been written, right? Your job is to stay aligned and let the truth work in your favor. The truth is working in my favor. I don't know why in my head I just heard, may the odds forever be in your favor, right? When things get exposed, I feel like that is a kiss from God. Because it means that you are two things to me. When things get exposed, it feels like, one, you're given opportunity to make a decision, right? It's literally like, okay, I want to get you somewhere that is better than where you are, right? You've been crying, you've been praying, you've been asking, you've been doing all the things. I want to give you an opportunity to help you get out of where you are. So I'm going to pull the veil back and show you something, but what you do with it is up to you, right? The other side of that is when truth is revealed, I feel like it's a kiss from God because that means you are ready for your next level. Both are kind of the same, right? But sometimes you kind of don't have a choice in the moving forward. You do, right? But you might not, right? I believe we do, right? God still gives us free will. What you do with what you're exposed, what truth is exposed, is up to you. It's up to you. Again, you're writing your story. So how do you want this story to be? Do you want it to be the story of power and purpose, or do you want it to be the story of victimhood and viciousness, right? How do you want this story to be? Because again, the truth can work in your favor if you want it to. So something that was kind of sitting with me was this thing around advocacy. If you've been here for a while, you know that I advocate hardcore for healing from domestic violence, that I've learned of all kinds of domestic violence, literally from mother-child sabotage, domestic violence and how it plays out in court, physical abuse, spiritual abuse, financial abuse, all of it, right? And when I was like, I was talking to my therapist about this, and we were talking about like what came to me was advocating with boundaries, right? And it's this thing of like speaking up without having to fully sacrifice yourself. Because again, we want to ensure that we are protecting ourselves, protecting our narrative. And I'm sorry, savior complex doesn't play into my story anymore, right? So after seeing the video, I had reached out to someone close to the young girl. And like I said, it wasn't to cause drama, it wasn't to be messy, but because as women, there's this great responsibility of, hey sis, I need you to start loving yourself. I need you to start looking at yourself. I need you to see that you deserve so much more than what you're allowing for yourself. That power is what I wanted to stand on. And what I learned only confirmed what I already knew is that cycles repeat themselves when one, no one speaks up and no one extends a hand, and when people aren't ready to change. But here's the thing, I've done a lot of advocacy work, and it's not just with abuse. I advocate for early intervention programs for ages 3 to 5. I advocate for kids in schools, in school districts, to get the proper IEPs and services that they need. And I advocate for Head Start. Right, preschool, all anything preschool, I'm advocating for it, right? Not just Head Start, but anything that is the betterment of mother, child, and preschool programs, those early ages, I'm advocating for it. In addition to the advocacy work around abuse, the advocacy work around proper education in individualized education plans for kids in the public school. But one thing that I've learned about advocacy is that you can support yourself without sacrificing yourself, right? You can care about something without overextending. You can stand in truth without stepping into the fire because you've already been through your fire, right? Why should you get dragged through somebody else's? I think advocacy is, especially in the times that we're in, advocacy is something that is a powerful thing for all of us to step into, but to learn how to do it within boundary, right? A lot of the women that I spoke about, they stepped into advocacy from their own personal trials and own personal tribulations, right? Tina Turner used music to advocate around abuse and trauma, right? From her own experiences. We've seen the movie, it was wild, right? Harriet Tubman, it might have not been the advocacy that we see today, but she did advocacy work, advocating for people to come up to the North, right? Not stay in the South, really travel and create that railroad, that underground railroad to bring people to the North, to bring enslaved people to the North, to get free. Right. So when we talk about our narrative, we're also talking about how are you advocating? Right. I could have easily just been like, oh no, forget her. Like, she got to figure this out on her own. That was not going to sit right with me at all. That was not going to sit right with me at all. That was not going to be okay for me at all. Right. Because I'm a woman before I'm anything else. I am a woman before I'm anything else. Me and my grandmother have this conversation all the time with my brothers, with the men in my family. I am a woman before I am anything else. And on top of that, I am a black woman before I am anything else. It is not in my DNA to tear another woman down, especially another black woman down. The third role that will never change, regardless of how people are trying to change it, I am a mother. I will never tear another woman down. I will never tear another black woman down. And I will never, ever tear another mother down. The women who find doing those things acceptable, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? And I also understand that some of the abuse comes into play in those spaces. But what makes me powerful in my right, in my authority, and in my narrative is that I will never tear a woman down. I will never tear another black woman down. And I will never tear another mother down. You will never see me do any of those things. I want women to be free. I want us to get back to screaming in the jungle and running around the jungle naked and being merry and laughing and whatever women do and being soft and being in our feminine and being supporters of one another. That's a part of my story, right? I refuse to put myself back in harm's way to do that, though, right? I won't do it harmfully, but I won't put myself in harm's way to do that. Listen to that again, right? As much as I want women to be free, I won't put myself in harm's way, but I will never harm another woman. This is what taking your power back looks like, right? It's not just about breaking free from the past. It's about protecting your future. It's about knowing what your role is. Sit with yourself. Why is everybody afraid to sit with themselves? Sit with yourself. It's the most beautiful thing that you can give to yourself. If you recall the beginning of this episode, I shared about the Mary Magdalene card that I pulled presents. Your presence is a gift, but if you can't see it as a gift to yourself, you're giving somebody else the key to your story. You write your story. You writing your story is going to start with you being present with yourself. It's going to start with you loving yourself. It's going to start with you looking at all the shit that you keep refusing to look at for yourself. It's going to look at you asking for help. It's going to look at how it's going to be you looking at how do you actually treat people and how do you want to treat people? Right? Taking your power back is not just about breaking free from the past. It's about protecting your future. It's about knowing your role in your story and when to step back and when to let others take their own journey, right? Because as much as we would love for other people to be a part of our stories and vice versa, everybody is not capable. We timeline shift, right? We timeline shift, and everybody can't go with you. That's why I am sharing this. Again, it's not for him, it's not for them, but it's for us. It's for every woman who needs to know that walking away, choosing yourself, and reclaiming your power is not just possible, It is very, very necessary for you, your growth, your life, your purpose, your legacy. When we're stepping into your next chapter, this moment is proof for me that I am free, that I have elevated myself, and that I am stepping into a life that fully belongs to me, that I get to create, that I get to write. I don't have to live and play by anybody else's rules. I want you to know that you have the power and the authority to do the same thing. There is no one that you have to ask permission from to do this. You don't have to wait for a perfect moment. You can actually start right now. You don't have to stay in a story that doesn't serve you. You don't have to keep characters in your story that are not playing by your rules, that are not owning their character flaws, and that are harming the main character, which is you. You can rewrite your life at any given moment. You have the power and the authority to reclaim your story. Our affirmation for this episode is, I am the author of my own story. I stand in my power. I choose peace. I choose love. I choose truth over everything that does not serve my highest and greatest good. So just take a moment to sit with yourself, be with yourself. Look at what you're thinking about that is bringing tension to your body and ask yourself if it's time to let go. Love yourself. Love on each other. I love you all for free. Until next time. Bye.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.